glad I know I'm saved and I'm going to live forever. Amen. If you win your Bibles tonight, turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, and we'll have a message on stewardship. And I know Brother Eddie Johnson Sunday did a fantastic job. We missed Brother House, and I look forward to, maybe we'll try to do what we did last year and just see when he feels good and try to have him in on a Sunday morning sometime this year. So be in prayer for him. And I know Brother Johnson said it many times that stewardship is not primarily or not necessarily and always about money. But I can tell you it certainly is a big part of it. And I've said, and I've heard other preachers say it too, and it is true, that spirituality most of the time can be connected to your pocketbook. Let me put it another way. Spirituality most of the time in a Christian's life can be gauged by your pocketbook. In other words, what you spend on, what you do, if you're a faithful giver to the Lord, it really is one of those areas in the Christian life that takes surrender. And surrender to what the Lord has for us and what he's told us to do, what he's commanded us to do. And many times until we submit to that, we won't grow as the Lord intended for us to grow spiritually. Amen? Everybody with me? And so it's very, very important. One of my favorite stewardship verses, Brother Johnson just alluded to it, is found in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. It says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." So as we have received gifts, and I'm thankful, according to Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, that God has given us gifts. He's given us abilities to serve him through the church, through the local church. And God has given you, as a Christian, the ability to serve in the local church in some capacity. And we should be a good steward of those gifts or gift, whatever it may be. And by the way, again, a steward is simply one who manages the resources of another. And so we are to be a steward of the resources that God has given to us. All right, so we live in a world where many do not want to take responsibility for their actions. Would y'all agree with that? I'll tell you what, we do. And parents are not teaching their children accountability and taking responsibility for their actions because the parents, many of them, are not taking responsibility for their actions. They don't blame somebody else, and they don't want to be accountable. Atheists and most evolutionists deny the Creator. Why? Primarily because they don't want to be accountable to the Creator. And if you say there is a God, then and God created everything, then you're accountable to the Creator. And they don't want accountability. By the way, I said most evolutionists because there are theistic evolutionists, and we won't go into that tonight. As children of God, we realize and know we are accountable to the Lord with all of our life, our whole being. Stewarding, it is our responsibility as Christians to steward the life that God has given us. To steward the life that God has given us. And that life includes our time, our talent, and our treasure, that we are to be good stewards, good managers of the resources that God has given us, good managers of the talents, of the manifold. By the way, it is the manifold, the many blessings of God. God has been so gracious to us. And God has been so wonderful to us. And God has been so loving to us that we ought to manage what he has given us and do so in a biblical manner. And by the way, I said biblical manner, not our way, his way. And so yielding to his will. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, bless the message. Bless your reading of your word. And Lord, may you help us and, Lord, encourage us in the area of stewardship and accountability. And we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Personal responsibility in the area of stewardship is taught all over in the Bible, many, many different ways, many different places. And we think about, we won't turn to these scriptures. If you want to, you can write them down. But Matthew 12, 36 says, "We're accountable for every idle word." That's pretty serious. Every idle word. Matthew 12, 36. Romans 14, verse 12 says we're accountable for our lives. We will give an account for our lives. Our total our total being, if you would. Our time, our talent, and our treasure. 1 Corinthians 4, 5 says that he will judge each of us at his coming. And that goes along with 2 Corinthians 5, 10, that we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We will give an account for this resources that God has given us and how we have managed them. And so I thought of this afternoon as I was studying this once again. And think about it. Have you ever appeared before a judge? We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Have you ever appeared before a judge? Years ago when we were meeting at the school in White Settlement, our church was meeting at the seminary, and we met there for a couple of years. And my wife and I were over there driving around, and we went to like a thrift store. It was an antique store over there somewhere off of Cherry Lane. I forget exactly where it was at. And we got through, and when we came out of that store, we turned onto the road, and I turned left and made my way down there. Well, we got pulled over, and I pulled over into a 7-Eleven. I don't remember. A 7-Eleven, pulled in there, and policeman came to the door. I got out. We were talking. I won't tell you. He wasn't the night. This is, by the way, this is exception to the rule that you find a policeman who is not kind, and he wasn't, and he was disrespectful. But I was very kind to him, and again, not everybody understand. I'm just making a point here for just a second. Everybody with me? Maybe that's not a good illustration. So I never want to say, but there are bad apples in every profession, and he happened to be one of them. And the story ends pretty good, so stay with me. And so he says I was speeding in a school zone. I said, well, there was no light flashing, blah, blah, blah. We went through the whole thing. And sure enough, it was kind of that time of day when it was about to get going, but it hadn't started yet, the flashing of the school zone lights, and it was, you know, whatever time it was. It was just, anyway, I did not, and my wife will testify, there was no lights flashing when I got onto the road. Was it flashing afterwards? Maybe it was, probably was. But it wasn't flashing when I was on there. So anyway, we had a good conversation. Again, he was pretty rude, but I was kind. And so anyway, I decided because of that I would actually go contest the ticket. And I didn't hire a lawyer or anything. I just showed up to my appointed time. And it still amazed me how nervous I got with the judge sitting there, how nervous I was. I knew I was right. I had even drawn it out a little bit and tried to, at least in my mind, could explain it in such a way. Hopefully the judge would get it. But I was nervous. I was tongue-tied. I had a hard time getting out what I wanted to say. I got out what I wanted to say, and of course, the police officer got up there and said what he had to say, and the judge sided with him. And I even publicly stood up as I had an opportunity to speak afterwards, and I said, Judge, I think you did the right thing. Your policeman said this happened, and you ought to take his side. He should have. The judge should have taken the policeman's side. And I said, but I just want you to know, blah, 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 blah. And I told him how that policeman treated me. And I said, I just wanted to come here on the record, and so that if you have any more complaints about this particular officer, at least someone knows about it. And so, anyway, as I was walking out, the police officer actually followed me out of the deal and apologized to me. And he did. He apologized to me. I think he had a bad day. And so it ended good. But I just, again, even though I speak publicly and all those things, I was super nervous in front of that judge. And I, again, had a hard time explaining what I had already gone through my mind 100 times. I just think about how nervous I was before an earthly judge. Think about when you stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Think about when you stand before the judge of all the earth. Of all the earth. But, you know, that judge that's set there in White Settlement, he's an earthly judge. He's fallible himself. But our King, the Lord Jesus Christ, is infallible. He is the righteous judge. He is a just judge. And so remembering that we are accountable to Him, that one day we'll stand before Him and give an account, the merciful and gracious God. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8, you've heard this verse many times too, that Christ will reward us according to our works. Again, we will not stand before God. If you're a Christian tonight and you've been saved and you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've trusted Him and Him alone, His life, His death, and His resurrection as your only means of salvation from the wrath of God placed upon your sins, that Jesus Christ, you're putting your faith in Jesus Christ that He paid for your sin debt, then you will not give an account for your sin when you get to heaven. Because my sins are under the blood. My sins, as Brother Johnson said Sunday, my sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. My standing before God, my legal standing before God, is in Christ. In other words, God doesn't see my sinful record after I accept Christ as my Savior. He only sees Christ's sinless record. My record has been erased. Christ's sinless record, His sinless record has been put in its place. And I will stand before God in Christ Jesus. I will not give an account for my sins, but I will give an account for my works, whether they be good or bad. And that phrase or that saying is based upon our motives. In other words, why did you serve? What was your motive for teaching that class? What was your motive for evangelism? What was your motive for helping at VBS? And I could go through a gamut of different ministries. But what was your motive? What was your heart's desire? Was it for praise, that people would praise you? Or was it for His glory? Was it for your glory or His glory? That's going to be the basis upon which we were rewarded, is upon what our heart's motives were. We must take personal responsibility for the gifts that God has given us, understanding that we will give an account, that we are personally responsible for them. So each of us should measure our stewardship based upon the Word of God. And how does the Lord want us to manage the resources He's given us? Again, 1 Peter 4:10, our text tonight, we are to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. How are you managing your resources? How are you managing your resources? 1 Corinthians 16:2 talks about, again, that as a steward that we are to give, everyone is to give. Upon the first day of the week, let every man lay by in store as God hath prospered him. And it gets the responsibility of every believer to give their tithe, to give their offerings. Again, based upon what? Well, as God blesses you. As God blesses you. As we think about this proportionate giving, the tithe belongs to the Lord. How many times have you heard that as a Christian? Maybe not, you're a new Christian. Maybe you haven't been a member of our church very long. But the Bible makes it very clear, the tithe, the 10%, belongs to God. It's a debt that we owe. And so we are to give that 10% before the government gets a hold of it. We are to give that 10% upon the first day of the week. We are to come and bring it to the storehouse and give that to the Lord. Again, when you tithe, in God's sight, everyone gives the same. Think about that for a moment. When you tithe, in God's sight, everyone gives the same. If you make $100 and you give $10 in tithe on Sunday, and you make $1,000 and you give $100 on Sunday, God sees that giving as the very same. He doesn't see the big giver and the little giver. It's the 10%. Amen? Isn't that good? There's no respecter of persons when it comes to ethnicity and rich or poor and all those things, but I'm glad our rewards are not based upon how much we can do. It's based upon what we do with what we have, with what He gives us, in proportion to what He gives us. So, when we think about, we are to come upon the first of the week and give our tithes and offerings. What are the offerings referred to? We think about 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians that talk about various offerings. Well, the offering is above the tithe. And when it comes to the offerings that we bring, we're to give in proportion to how God blesses us as well. Malachi chapter 4, verse 8. We read that a lot. Let's look at it real quick. We got time. Malachi 4:8. Remember, I have a new Bible. I will try to get there. It's at the end of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 8. Talking about tithes and offerings. Do you realize in the Old Testament there were three tithes? Remember, Brother House has said this several times, but there were three tithes that the Old Testament giver was required to make. The temple tithe, the festival tithe, tied in with the three festivals, the three festival time periods, and then benevolence tithe. How would you like that? Maybe that's why Paul says the New Testament is far more glorious than the Old Testament, because in the Old Testament you would have given 30%. You've been required to give 30%. Everybody like the New Testament better? No, I'm just kidding. So look at Malachi chapter 4, verse 8, and we could spend a lot of time here, but just the one verse, it says, verse 8, "Will a man rob God? Yet have you robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee?" And look what it says, "in tithes and" what? "Offerings." So it's not just saying that when you don't tithe that you're robbing him. You are. When you don't tithe, you rob God. That's what the Bible says. It makes it very clear. But it also saying that when you don't give an offering, you're also robbing God. Again, that offering is a free will offering. In the Old Testament, as I'm going to repeat in our meeting here in just a moment, when we talk about the Campus Development Fund, in the Old Testament, all their buildings, all the temple buildings, all the buildings that were used in the offering up of worship to the Lord, all were built with free will offerings. Free will offerings. They weren't used, the temple tithe wasn't used for buildings. The again, the festival tithe or the benevolence tithe, no, they took up free will offerings, the free will offering. And that's what we're talking about tonight. So when we talk about the offering above the tithe, it's something you do of your own free will. Your own free will. As to how much is your own free will. According to Mark chapter 12, the offering should be something that is sacrificial, especially when we talk about that when it comes to missions. It ought to be something determined by love. You love the Lord tonight, then not only would you tithe, but you give an offering to him. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 5 says it ought to be generous. We ought to be generous when we give. The Lord loves a generous giver. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21, it says, as we give an offering, now we're not talking about the tithe, we're talking about the offering. When we give an offering, that offering ought to be determined in view of eternity. I want to do something that will outlast me. I want to invest in eternity. And when I give to the Lord, when I give and then my tithes and my offerings, I'm investing in eternity, something that's going to outlast me. And I'm done. Under grace, under the New Testament economy, in the New Testament, we must feel that all we have belongs to the Lord. Do you believe that tonight? All we have belongs to the Lord. It's not my house. As Brother House says, I ain't got no stuff. I ain't got no stuff. My stuff's the Lord's. I'm merely a steward. I'm merely managing it. And I want to manage it in a way that would be pleasing to my Heavenly Father. All we have belongs to the Lord, and our giving should be in proportion to our love for God and His church. And so as we think about giving tonight, as we think about the budget and the things we're going to be talking about, may we be reminded tonight the importance of giving. And I'm looking forward to preaching on stewarding life, because stewardship is not just about money. Oh, it's way bigger than that. It's about stewarding your whole life. I beseech thee therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you what? Present your body a living sacrifice. We are to give our whole life to the Lord and yield every area of our life to him. That's being a steward. And then obeying him as he leads us. All right. Some of you may have your stewardship booklet. If you don't, we're going to put it up on the screen so that you can see it. And we'll go through this. So I think we're going to end the